This episode of our This Week in XR podcast is sponsored by Zapper. Zapper is one of the world's leading XR companies. Over the past 12 years, they've won numerous awards for memorable campaigns. They've democratized AR by making tools and SDKs that anyone can use. And they created Zapbox, the world's most affordable mixed reality headset. Most recently, Zapper worked with Unilever to create an enhanced QR code called Accessible QR, which enables packaged goods to speak to the blind and partially sighted. If you're thinking XR, give the team at Zapper a call or visit zapper.com to see how they can help you on your XR journey. Good morning, everybody. I'm Charlie Fink with Ted Shilowitz and Roni Abovitz for This Week in XR. It's Friday, April 19th, 2024. Good morning, guys.
Marking time. I love that we have to announce the date every week. It's like, here we are. It's the end of April, 2024.
We're still at it. We're just about to crest show 195 as we hurtle toward the best conference in the world, Augmented World Expo.
Yeah.
Which is where we're going to do our 200th episode.
Amazing.
So
I'm not the remote in for that.
We're trying to figure that out. The connectivity, even for TV in the convention center, is not great. So we will try and figure that out.
It needs to get solved, right? At an augmented world, it needs good internet.
I know. But they're still bound by the gravity of the convention center.
Roni, call your friends at T-Mobile or Verizon and have them drop in a 5G node and make it happen.
Well,
you're a big shot. Make it happen.
If it was AT&T who was our partner, I might be able to do something.
That's right. AT&T was your Magic Leap partner.
Yes. I don't know who services the convention center.
So our guest today is Akash Nigram of Genies, which is an avatar technology company. Was this your get, Roni, or yours, Ted?
Yes. No, Akash and I are buds.
Okay, great. So we'll look forward to having him and finding out what you guys are up to. So big news this week, Meta drops Meta AI powered by Llama 3.
Yeah.
And they pushed it out on all their platforms, which means that half the people in the world, half the people on this planet right now, have access to a very good AI chatbot for free.
Okay, so here's a question for Roni. When you say free, how many crappy Facebook ads did the world's population have to watch and continue to watch to pay for that large language model? How much do you think it costs for Meta to develop that model, Roni?
I'll give you the minimum cost, right? Let's do the add up. Number one, a good part of the acquisition of WhatsApp, which was about $19 billion, was
$20 billion.
Feeder into a variety of then Facebook, now Meta, AI projects, right? So at least, you know, some portion of that $19 billion went there. If you're going to be somewhat conservative, you know, add another $10 to $15 billion, probably more, $20-30 billion of like Facebook and Meta AI research and acquisitions and work and computing, you're probably going to circle the $40-50 billion level. So nothing is free. They did not get this for free. Yep. And therefore, you're not getting it for free. But yep. When you're not paying cash currency, you don't understand the transaction, you still need to realize there's a transaction going on. So the question is,
you're paying with your attention.
Well, more than your attention.
Your data. Your attention, data.
There's your data, and there's your know-how. And there's like your soul, like your essence. How much of that are you going to be paying for?
And your screen time and your choices. Yeah,
there's a lot. So I think people fail to realize like free, hopefully every one of our listeners realizes free does not mean free. It's not altruistic. So be aware of what you're paying. I would rather actually just
that pay hasn't stopped people yet.
No, because I think people don't think. I think thoughtfulness about what's going on, actually thinking through the next step, is not in our human condition for a lot of people. And by the way, this attention span reduction that things like TikTok have done and Instagram have done has actually served this idea that by not thinking in long steps, by thinking in tiny steps, you're creating a population that doesn't think about the next step and therefore are more easy to manipulate. It's like the next thing, the next dopamine hit.
It's also it's also
a really
another
weird discussion topic, but it's like we can go there deep or we can go
well,
there
it's also another layer in the ethics discussion, right? So you're saying somewhere between $40 to $50 billion executed on this quote unquote need in big quotes. How many large language models do we need? Don't we think we could apply $40-50 billion better to healthcare or some other solve than having, you know, a duplicative of services on 12 different services that all run giant language models to make you a rainbow cat? I mean, you know, really? Like, how
you
many
got,
things?
You gotta understand what this is about. It's not about helping people. It's about if you have a dominant AI platform, your ability to become, you know, let's say you're a $1 trillion company today, entering the 5, 10, 20
yeah,
trillion dollar market cap zone. It's one of the levers. It's one of the, because what you're doing is you are reallocating the global economy away from something else to you.
So it's just a
way,
just a version of
reallocating.
It's just a version of playing Masters of the Universe, basically, is what we're talking about. I
oh,
just think
totally.
It'd be nice to find other more altruistic ways to dedicate those funds. That's all my point.
Can I diatribe for 1 minute? So I gave a keynote talk yesterday at Emerge Miami. It's like one of Miami's big tech conferences, like the South by Southwest of Miami. And we basically talked about my favorite subject, which is computational autocracy versus computational democracy. This is an example, what these guys are rolling out at Meta. This is a computational autocracy system.
Yeah.
Now, the fact that it's available to many people, don't confuse that with democracy. Centrally controlled mega AIs are not democratic. They're not purposely built to help you and be yours and be with you. They're actually designed to enable whoever's providing you to grow much bigger and get something from you.
Yeah.
In a transaction that's not very obvious to people who have like micro attention disorder.
Right.
So
it's
something to be aware of. As powerful as they're amazing. But it's like dark magic versus like, you know, Jedi good powers. Like, I feel like AI is entering a zone where things are going to truly feel like magic. The question is, what side of the line are you on? And I think most people might be engaging in, like, let's say, not so altruistic forms of AI magic.
I agree. Good way to put it.
There are two things about this.
My favorite topics this year.
Two things about this that I think are exciting. So first of all, I do think it's exciting to bring AI to the 4 billion people who don't otherwise have access to it without a charge. And, you know, the OpenAI version, the paid version of ChatGPT and the paid version of Gemini are much better than the ones that people have access to.
Right.
So I think that making sure the people who can afford the $20 a month and the people who can't afford the $20 are on a level playing field. Yes, their data is being stolen, but it's being stolen by OpenAI too, and you're paying them. So I think it's a great thing in that respect. I am terrified in another respect because it's going to enable a lot of bad actors, and Facebook is notoriously bad at anticipating unintended consequences. So really bad things could go on for quite some time around the world before they know about it or can do anything about it. I worry about that more than I worry about them per se, because they're vacuuming up the data, but they're doing it the way everybody else is doing it. I mean, the big problem with the large language models, as you know, is that they've stolen their content, and their justification for training their model in that way is that they did it equally and anonymously to everyone. So saying you committed a crime against everybody is not a great defense, but this is a universe scale case of it is easier to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Yeah, no doubt.
But Charlie, can I ask a question? Like the case you're making of making it available, let's say I make a drug available to everybody, not a drug that's going to help you, but an addictive drug. Everyone can get this addictive, like
you mean kind of like coffee?
worse than coffee. The coffee that crawls around your house and is as addictive as morphine or some kind of horrible like crack.
Yeah, you mean like coffee.
and then roots around in your bills and also takes your skill set away from you.
Like, yeah, you mean kind of like coffee. Like,
but Charlie, remember what Philip Rosedale said on this show several years ago, Ted? Yeah. We are all going to spend the rest of our lives online entertaining each other.
Yes, exactly. We are doing that very thing.
Let me throw a counterpoint at you. Why aren't governments giving what you just described to people? What I mean by that is like basic AIs that are part of your taxes, like the utility that are none. They're not there to harvest you. They're there to actually.
Because people trust Facebook and OpenAI more than they trust the government. Which is, I mean, insane on the face of it, because the government is not a for-profit entity.
I think.
I think. All right, next topic. Adobe announces a huge AI upgrade to Premiere. So now we're in our world, Ted. You know, all my students use Adobe. The Adobe suite is baked into the Chapman internet, or
it's all part of their service.
So, I mean, I don't know how many people have access to it. Billions of people have access to it, I guess. Yep. And anybody can buy a subscription. I don't think it's that much from Adobe. So now with Adobe Premiere, they have integrated not just basic image generation, but you can now do in-painting and remove and replace things that you don't want in your image. In the most rudimentary case, let's say a light stand or a microphone. The big news, of course, is that they're integrating Sora. So it's the first commercial use of Sora. It's limited to B-roll. I don't know how long it can be. Probably not long, because the compute to do the things that are several minutes long that we see is not something I think they can afford to roll out to the world.
Yeah.
But some B-roll capacity to Premiere makes perfect sense. They're also allowing scene extension, so you can add frames to the beginning and the end of a shot, which is going to be a little thing to most people. But if you're a film editor, you're going to thank them over and over again, because it's going to help you make better edits.
Well, what's so interesting about, you know, all the different features and that thing that you mentioned that you think is kind of a little thing, if you've ever And like anybody that's listening to this that's ever worked in anything that was cut on an NLE, and you were just, God, I wish I had six more frames of this before they move the camera. I just wish they had another couple of frames on each side of the person just relaxing and reacting before I did my cutaway. And you would just massage and work edits for hours to try and figure that out. The idea that you can just easily, without much effort at all, extend a few frames on each side of that edit is actually a remarkable thing. It may be one of the most valuable little tools that this comes from. The Sora thing is, of course, awesome. And yes, you'll never have to go shoot drone footage again. You'll just type in, I need a windy beach aerial, and boom, there it is.
But by the way, can we give kudos to Adobe for rapidly adopting and integrating AI inside their system? I mean, it's a really amazing case study of a legacy company that is not falling down, that is like really being on top of things and integrating and leveraging things that could be really competitive to them. And instead they make it a tool inside. Super smart.
Well, if you think about like the heritage and long-standing approach of Adobe, they're a compute first company, right? They're the guys behind Photoshop, right? They're the guys that understood that computers will do all of these things. And, you know, they entered into desktop publishing. They disrupted and reworked that whole industry. They entered into video and disrupted that industry. They entered into all kinds of graphic arts with, you know, Adobe Illustrator. And now this is just an extension of, they're a computer company and they're, you know, using computers to do creative things. And it makes total sense to me and a lot of users out there that this is a very smart use case for all things AI.
Again, we don't know that much about Sora yet, but they have been very cautious about the intellectual property issues. They have an AI called Firefly, which is integrated into different programs. It's unfortunately not that good compared to DALL-E and Midjourney and other image
generation platforms. Because they're doing their best, right?
Yeah, because it's based on 23 million images from Getty.
Right.
But that goes to show you how much data you need to make a really great image generator. And by the way, Meta AI powered by Llama, fantastic image generation.
Yeah.
Really good. And you can add motion to it. So you don't need to take it into another platform. It does it all right there. I know that Runway and others do that, but the results are better when you use multiple sources if you're working on your own. But to have that integrated is a tremendous, tremendous convenience. So anyway, they haven't given up. They keep iterating. I'm sure Fireflies will get better. It'll be interesting to see what trick they use if they're going to continue with their disciplined approach to AI and using AI ethically.
Well, that actually is the value trick, is that you take your assets from your studio, qualified, cleared, rights paid for assets, and allow it to train and work on those. So if you're working on a specific project, it has its guardrails and its limitations built in. That is the hope of what Firefly will bring to the creative world, as compared to OpenAI or Llama or the other sort of much larger kind of scoop it all up and see what comes out of it kind of thing. So it's interesting. It's a good time to be watching all this stuff, seeing what comes of it.
So Akash is not in the green room. So let me move on to a story that is interesting, but also a little bit depressing. Glue. The VR collaboration platform launched at the height of the pandemic is shutting its doors. Very hard to monetize this category, which is crowded, although less crowded than it was before Glue and Altspace shut down. But it just goes to show you how a really big, exciting category was completely based on the pandemic. And with the pandemic over, Zoom is more than sufficient for people.
Right.
VR is a great solution when you have to be apart and you need to be together. But when you are together, it becomes secondary to other means of communication. So we learned an important lesson, unfortunately, for Glue a little bit late. Again, I don't know. You know, Spatial, our friends at Spatial have struggled to find a way.
Yeah, and they've been pivoting monetize. Like crazy. They're Spatial's trying to be like a mini Roblox right now. I don't know how well it's working, but they're definitely doing it. And Engage is still doing okay, right? And Tailspin got acquired. So there's success stories out there.
Tailspin
too.
Again was a standalone enterprise
service
company,
bureau, right? Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It wasn't the same as these guys. They're kind of public.
But Engage is similar to them.
Engage is doing okay. It's a small company.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. It's a small company. It's a micro cap company. We've had David on the show and they continue to try and be sort of LinkedIn. Yeah. They have a unique approach. And I think they do well in the education category. I think that keeps them afloat. But they also have big corporate customers like PwC and others that we're familiar with. So here's the thing. OK, so Glue is closed. We have Mozilla Hubs just closed a few weeks ago. Sony has shut down production on PlayStation VR 2 due to low sales and low interest, as I predicted, because everybody who wants VR already has it.
Well, so, and the Wire. We predicted the Wire would be their death call, Charlie, and the Wire was their death call.
But, you know, and also, you know, Business Insider comes out with a big article about the low utilization of the installed base. So that's 20 million Quest 2s that aren't being used as often as they should be. And so then Tony Vitillo, who's the, I would say, leading blogger in the space, at least among developers, puts out a guide to what to do if you're bounced from VR by layoffs. Because, you know, VR is being swept up a little bit in the difficulties that the game industry has had. Recovering from the pandemic also. This is sort of like a bad Thanksgiving dinner. They all gorged themselves. They all put more on their plate that they could possibly eat. They munched away until 2024, but now the bill is due. And a lot of them are broke.
Yeah, well, such is what will happen with many AI companies as well. The glut is on right now, and the other side of that rainbow is coming soon.
Well,
you can only make so many cats on rainbows.
A lot of people are predicting that, aren't there? That you don't need 10 AI companies.
Don't need all these different tools. No.
At some point, the market's going to deflate.
Well, I will, if we have time before our guest comes on, I will tease you guys with a company that I learned about that I'm curious if you've heard of, that I think is going to be potentially one of the most important players in the world of AI. And it's in a way that you might not fully, like, instinctively know, but when I tell you about it, you'll say, oh, that's interesting. It's a company called Crusoe. Has that touched your radar at all? Has anybody, you guys heard about it?
I have heard of them.
Crusoe, like Robinson Crusoe, Crusoe.ai. What they do is very different than what a lot of other companies do. What they're doing is building data centers near power plants, as opposed to what the big data providers, AWS, Google, and Azure, have to do, which is park their data centers near population centers where they, you know, because they need latency and they need volume of that data.
Yeah.
This company is specializing in all of those non-super real-time needs like AI, which takes a little processing and then kicks you out the answer. And that's still a fairly short time in terms of the reality of time. You know, you're talking about a few seconds to a minute. It's Crusoe.ai. So these guys are literally building data centers right next to power plants because power plants these days are so good and so efficient that they have a lot of power runoff. They have a lot of wasted power they can't use. They have to basically just let it escape into the atmosphere. And these places are in the middle of nowhere, right? Big solar farms, big wind farms. So no one actually wants to physically work there, but because of remote work and remote access, you can build these power plants. You have one or two people on site, and it's a way to lower the cost of this AI tax, you know, this compute tax that, of course, NVIDIA is benefiting from greatly, and AMD is chomping at their heels. So maybe we should get them on the show. It'd be interesting to talk to them. I don't think a lot of people know about these guys.
That's a really good adjacent infrastructure business, Ted, where they're, it doesn't matter who wins the, you know, platform war or application war, you know there's going to be data center and energy needs.
Correct. So these guys are good picks and shovels guys, and they seem to be doing the right thing. So I would say it's worth checking it out. It's a good one for our listeners to check it out, you know, learn more about it, maybe help them succeed and pursue that area of, like, how do we best use all this energy that is being wasted?
No, that's a smart one because it's AI and climate and very on trend on many levels.
Yeah, it just felt good to me. It's a feel-good story of the week.
Smart. So here's another good feel-good story. Gabe Newell, our friend, co-founder of Steam, and I think a billionaire, started a brain-computer interface company, BCI, called Starfish. And they're clearly a competitor to Neuralink.
Thing, right? Yeah.
Yeah, because they also use minimally invasive, but still... you know, bioimplants to treat mental health disorders and help people communicate. You know, the Neuralink just demonstrated a paraplegic guy who can play chess using his thoughts. So that's a life change for somebody like that, and an exciting development. Player. So we don't know much about Starfish. Have you guys heard of this effort?
I've heard of it, but Charlie, it's pretty quiet.
Go on, sorry, Ted. No, you go.
I said, I haven't heard much about it, but it's interesting. And I just love the fact that there's an anti-Elon out there that could help us on this journey. You know, Gabe's an interesting character, right? I've met him a few times, and he's what I refer to as a classic honey badger. Do you guys know what the phrase of the honey badger is? Just Google honey badger don't give a fuck. And that's what a honey badger is. And Gabe is a classic that way. He sort of beats to his own drummer and does not work the way anyone else in our field works, which is why Valve and Steam are Valve and Steam, and they're so interesting in so many ways, because their leader, their founder, much like the Steve Jobs sort of DNA of why Apple is because of Steve Jobs. Valve and Steam are Valve and Steam because of Gabe and because of how Gabe thinks and approaches his world. Also a bit like Tim Sweeney, you know, but Tim Sweeney's a bit of a hybrid. Gabe is much more pure. I'm actually really excited to see what Gabe will do with BCI. I think it's going to be really interesting.
Well, you know, I think BCI is the new SpaceX. What I mean by that is, like, okay, you're worth tens of billions. You're going to build rocket ships, you know, the Virgin guy, Jeff Bezos needs to do it. Elon does it. It's like, it's trendy to have a rocket ship company. Now it's trendy to have a brain computer interface company. It's the next, like, Marvel DC superhero sort of thing that you should be doing. Because,
well, it is Iron Man, right? I mean, they are building Iron Man, so it makes sense. Yeah.
Well, I was at an XPRIZE event yesterday with Peter Diamandis, gave a talk, and it's basically like, you know, how are you going to hook yourself up into the Gen AI system so that your brain is now superpowered, right? It's all about creating this, like, uber superhuman, and now it's like the brain computer interface. You connect it to some kind of, like, 10,000x mega brain. This is literally like the thinking behind it.
Yeah, well, there's others.
Well, bad sci-fi movie for sure.
Speaking of Mega Brain, how is it that between you two guys, we have never gotten Peter Diamandis on this show?
Oh, we could easily get Peter on the show.
Okay, we'll get on the phone and get Peter on the show.
Gabe,
okay.
Why don't we have Gabe? Have we ever
get on the phone and get Gabe on the show?
Gabe is a harder get. Gabe will, like I said, Gabe's a honey badger. If Gabe wants to be on the show, he'll call us.
Maybe he's a listener. Can't call Gabe.
He'll call us and be like, I listen to your show. I'm a fan. I want to be on. That's the only way we're getting Gabe. So it's a bit like our Tim Cook South by Southwest thing.
Well, here's
our open call to Gabe. Anybody
all right,
that knows
well, here
Gabe,
you go. Here's a get that I got for next week.
Yes.
Yatsiu, the founder, chairman, and CEO of Animoca Brands.
Oh, big one. Yeah, that's a big get.
So Animoca Brands, for everybody who does not know, is Sandbox, Kraken, MetaMask, and Ledger, which are all huge and very successful startups. Then they made an unofficial announcement yesterday, or an unofficial unaudited financials for the company, which claims that it has about $1 billion under management, with a third of it in cash and stable coins, and 400 minority XR investments, which have not been properly valued yet, but suggesting probably another, let's say, $500 million of value.
Not been properly valued means that they're not making any money, I think.
is a guy who has really been trying to finance.
Yeah, they're scoping and scaling in a big way. I mean, they are a leader in this entire sector in terms of funding and financing this sector into being. So they get a lot of credit. Absolutely.
And with crypto booming again, I think a lot of those companies may start to be more relevant.
Yeah. Well, we may see yet another. I mean, this is one of those, like, we are not here to give you investment advice, but you may see crypto really boom again, because it's drifting down now in preparation for what they call halving. And this happens every 5 or 6 years, where they half they basically double the amount of compute power required to mine the coin. And every time they do this, there is a slight dip pre the half, and then post the half, there's a bull rush on Bitcoin. May happen again, may not happen again. There's no way to know. But Bitcoin was up in the 70s. Now it's back in the 60s, and there's predictions it could sneak up into the 80s post the half. So we'll see what happens.
So Akash Nigram, a no-show, which rarely happens to us. We'll have to reschedule him, and he'll have to wait till the summer when we have an opening. But of course, we would welcome him back here. I'm sure there's a good reason that he has missed his very prestigious guest spot on our show. So that's what we
did. I'm doing some stuff helping Akash, that they're Genies is in the midst of like a really interesting burst of activity and interest. So it's very possible that some entities more important than us, which is hard to imagine, may be intervening in his like daily cycle. But it's good. It's all good stuff. And hopefully we will get him back on.
Yes.
Solid 12 minutes. I think you could have managed it, but okay.
All right, everybody. Well, that's our show this week. Thanks for hanging in with us and coming back. And we're looking forward to seeing everybody at AWE. So have a great weekend, and we'll see you next Friday.